brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
That team is going to be dangerous.
There are some regions out there that are absolutely insane because they're stacked.
Somebody really good is going to get left out.
We are talking about all of these really good teams. Oof. What about an underdog?
That region one is just absolutely out of control. Welcome to the fastest Football Fridays in Georgia podcast that we have every single year. And I mean that because we have all of the energy and a lot of rapid fire answers because it is time for the Football Fridays All-Stars to get you ready for the 2024 season. John here, Hannah there, and we already have our first guest locked up.
Yes, we do. Reigning state champions Milton, Pierce County, Prince Avenue Christian, and Bowdoin are ranked number one on the GHSF daily list.
Mm-hmm. Which means...
This is also going to be one of the most unpredictable seasons ever with reclassification.
Which means?
Let's jump right into it with GHSF Daily founder and editor Todd Holcomb to talk all about this. Hey, Todd.
Hey, I'm glad to be back on again. And it is going to be an unpredictable season with reclass because a lot of these teams fell in different classes. So it's hard to just slot them in where they were last year. It's going to be a big difference.
And if we hear any barking, Todd has a new dog. First of all, I have to know the dog's name.
Yeah.
Rosie or Rosita. Oh. It apparently was a dog that the rescue said was found on the streets of Mexico.
Ooh.
I don't know the full story, but it has a Mexican, I guess that's how it got the name Rosita.
So what kind of dog is it, Todd?
Yeah. It's kind of a mix, but I believe it might be like a Jack Russell. It has a little bit of that in there. Terrier, so which we understand is short for terrier.
Terror.
The Jack Russell Terror.
Okay, so we're going to have Rosita with us on the podcast today.
Yeah, so there you go. All right.
So, Todd, I'm still not used to not saying 7A. Like, our games this week is 6A versus 5A. I'm not used to not saying 7A. So what have you seen out of reclassification, and what are some of your predictions for this season?
Well, I mean, you've got a lot of teams that that make, you know, pretty big jumps. I mean, you know, you have Milton 1-7A, and they're all the way down in 5A. And so that's kind of strange. They really just dropped one, so to speak. But, you've got a lot of other teams that dropped down. Like, you know, Jefferson went down 2. They made the semifinals. They went from 5 to 3, I believe. They're down in 3. Marist made the semifinals in 6. They're going to be in 4. So you got to really look at those teams that made – significant drop downs like that to see how they're going to do.
Are you expecting chalk or chaos this year? Are you expecting a lot of the big names to continue to work through in their new classifications? Or are you, because of everything now being jumbled up, because there are some regions out there that are absolutely insane because they're stacked, are you expecting chaos or chalk?
Well, I think that's a good point about those regions. I mean, you know, there's some of them that are much, you know, deeper. And you got, I think Perry's in the region. We have to remind me all those teams in that one, you know. Perry and 4A, and they're in there with Warner Robins. Didn't they jump down in there? I think Benedictine's in there. Ware County, am I getting them all right?
Yeah, that one is one of the ones that, let me double check real quick. So this is, it's like live bracketing here. So we're trying to see. This is not where you edit John's rambling out. You don't do that. Why would you want to do something like that? So, all right, Region 1 Quad A, mm-hmm. To Todd's example, Ware, Benedictine, Warner Robins, Perry. That's insane.
It is insane.
And that's just one of the examples. So, I mean, Todd, that Region 1 is just absolutely out of control.
Yeah, I mean, Perry won the state title, and of course, Benedictine has won a couple of times here. And, I mean, one of those teams liable not to make the playoffs and yet be a top 10, top 12 kind of team. So, yeah, that one's pretty good. And then the other one is with Coffee, right? One level up. I'll do my research again. So it's going to be Coffee. Lee County is in there. Houston County. Let me go look real quick.
I'm with you. Let's see who gets there first. I think I'm going to get there first. So that region 2-5A, Coffee, Northside, Lee, Houston County, Thomas County Central, Veterans. How's your day going?
Not well.
So Thomas Central, reigning state champion, Coffee, reigning state champion, they're in the same region.
Yeah.
So one of them won't even win their region. They play the last game of the season. So, yeah, it just seems like there's more. And what partly brought this about was is because we did go down one classification. So it made most of the classifications deeper and stronger. I actually had a little note about this in the newsletter today.
Excellent plug, sir. Nicely done.
Those classes are going to be deeper and stronger. The others may not be any different because you're going to pull the private schools out. So 3A is 2A, 1A Division I. They're good, but then you'll pull some of the privates out. So I don't think they'll be as deep. It'll be harder to get a top 10, out of them when you're doing the rankings as opposed to those top three classes, in my opinion.
Speaking of the newsletter, I have not gotten it this year.
What?
I had to re-sign up. I did it today. I re-signed up. Todd, check for me to make sure I'm subscribed. And if you're listening and not subscribed, go to ghsfdaily.com and hit the subscribe button and put your email in. It's the best high school information, besides GPB, of course. Besides GPB, it's the best.
She saved the
high
plug.
High school information that you can possibly find. So, Todd, make sure I'm subscribed. We are talking about all of these really good teams. Oof. What about an underdog, Todd? We always love to hear an underdog from you.
Who would Rosita most appreciate as an underdog?
Yes.
You love to ask that question.
Yes.
I'm not very good at answering them, but I'm just going to throw out, this is kind of a weird one, but I think, Hayville Charter is really good.
Okay.
And they're going to be, they're usually playing like in 4A and mm-hmm. they're dropping down or sneaking in there to 2A. They've had some really good teams that didn't appear to be that good because they were playing higher in a tough region.
Oh, yeah.
And they got a lot of their players back and maybe a couple of guys coming in. I think they got a couple of guys coming in from Spalding. So they're going to be pretty good. I put them in the top 10. Other teams are ones that, like, okay, now, like, Douglas County is not an underdog. I mean, they made the semis last year. But I think a lot of people thought maybe, they made this great run. It was kind of a flash in the pan, and they'll regress back down, especially going into 6A. But, man, they're loaded.
Mm-hmm.
They got a great quarterback, maybe the best receiver pair in the state, if not ever. So they're going to be awfully good. They'll be a top. They could win it. I mean, they have a good team good enough to win it after moving into the highest class. And also, this isn't underdogs exactly, so I'm skirting the good question. But if you want kind of an underdog classification, it's Class A Division I because they're free of private schools. Prince Avenue is gone. So you got a bunch of really good programs that don't necessarily – they haven't won state titles in a while. Like, we've got Toombs County ranked number one. They've never won a state title.
Yeah.
Commerce is number two. They haven't won one in a long time. Swainsboro knocking on the door. I mean, they may be their chance. You got Raven County that's always close and hasn't won. Thomasville hasn't won in a while. Northeast Macon, Bleckley, so Elbert County. A lot of really, teams that are really good, and this may be their opportunity. So that'll be a fun one to watch.
Well,
we need to go back and look at all the underdogs that everybody said.
Yeah.
And see if any of them have, like, made deep runs.
Yeah.
We need to go back and look.
And that'll be our topic. Todd, as always, my friend, great to catch up with you and looking forward to one of the best newsletters in the country when it comes to everything on a daily basis over there at the GHSF Daily. Thanks for hopping on, being a part of the All-Stars. As always, my friend, we'll catch up with you soon.
Sure. Thanks so much, guys.
John, you asked Todd, chalk or chaos?
Chalk or chaos?
I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so chalk basically, chaos, chaos. It's like,
yes, I know what chaos is, yes.
Chalk is a term that is used involving juice boxes.
What?
It means everything as it should be.
Yeah, everything as it should be. It's a Vegas term. It is a betting term.
Is everything going to be
favorites,
as it's laid out,
yeah,
or is it going to be in the blender?
Yeah, so chalk is all your favorites, all the big names, all the ones and twos.
Are going to win.
Chalk is all your favorites, all your one and two seeds. And then chaos is obviously chaos. So that's where
chaos
the extremes
come.
Chaos
is John Nelson.
Yes.
How does it have to do with juice boxes?
Juice boxes is what I refer to as betting dollars. So that way you're not saying that you're betting dollars. You're spending juice
boxes.
He lost
me there too, but honestly, John loses me 90% of the time.
Batting second for the All-Stars, we go down to Valdosta and catch up with our friend Phil Jones from ITG next in the Extra Point program. Phil, chalk or chaos? I'll go ahead and ask it right now.
Wow, not much chalk, if you ask me, heading into this season. And by the way, great job on explaining what chalk meant. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything set in stone. So I'm going to go with chaos.
We like
Ooh,
that.
Ooh, okay. Well, follow up. Which region will be the most chaotic, do
Ooh.
You think?
Oh, I think you got to go to Class 5A, 2-5A, and 7-5A.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I mean, you know, that 2-5A, guys, take your pick. What do we got? Three defending state champions, I think it is, two or three in that region. I mean, you got Thomas County Central, you got Coffee, you got, I mean, Lee County. I mean, it's somebody really good is going to get left out.
And somebody really good's going to have to do it on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so the other one, of course, is 7-5A, and I think that's Milton, Roswell, coming out of that
Gainesville.
Region.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Gainesville. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you want chaos? How about that?
Well, speaking of Milton, it's
there's your chaos, guys.
And there's our plug, speaking of Milton.
Excellent.
We have Buford versus Milton.
See how she does
Friday.
That, Phil?
Friday. Preview that one for us, Phil. What's going to happen between the Eagles and the Wolves?
Great matchup. I mean, can't think of it. We got so many of these great matchups, but this is right there at the top. It's also one of the ITG Next Pick 6 games to keep an eye on this week.
See, Hannah got her plug in. You got your plug in. Nicely done.
Absolutely, John.
Touché. So, all right. So let's take a look at this. So Buford didn't look very good. I mean, let's cut to the chase. Let's just say Buford looked less than stellar in the scrimmage game last week against Langston Hughes. But it is a scrimmage game. It's what I've been reminding people of. You know, coaches, I'm not sure how much Brian Appling showed his hand, and exactly. They were pretty vanilla, I think. So, as we have learned, you can't take a whole lot from the scrimmage. However, on the other hand, guys, Hughes looked really good. Christian, C5 Langford, now their quarterback. Big shoes to fill, obviously, taking the place of apprentice Air Nolan, who's a member of the Buckeyes now. But he's going to do an admirable job. This is going to be one to watch. Milton, of course, looking to defend their state title. And they also looked a little shaky in the scrimmage game. But having said that, it's all for real now. No more scrimmage games. No more green jerseys. It's last man standing. I tell you, just flip a coin on this one. I have no way to know who's favored in this game. It's going to be a dandy.
When it comes to the smaller classifications, we all know that single A – traditionally is tough. It's Irwin, it's Brooks, it's Clinch now with Jim Dickerson now back as the head coach at Clinch after retiring. And you look at, you kind of wink at Jim. It's like, you retired, wink, wink. And now he's back at his alma mater. When it comes to the smaller classifications, where has ITG been focusing its attention here early on? Because once again, it's going to be single A schools chasing after their own championship because the private schools got moved over to their own.
Yeah, I tell you, the 1A, Division I and Division II are going to be super tough. And I don't think you can say and make the argument that, hey, just because – you know, we moved down. You know, take a look at Fitzgerald. You know, they're one of the teams that moved down. Brooks County. You mentioned Clinch.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Brooks County defeated 6A Tiff County in their scrimmage game last week.
Wow.
6-0 when the varsity guys were going against each other. So, you know, teams to watch, I think, are those three: Irwin, Clinch, and Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald lost a lot. So keep an eye on Tucker Pruitt. He's really going to have to work some magic this year, guys. Lost about 9 starters on defense. I think it was 7 on offense. So I don't want to say it's a rebuild in Ben Hill County this year, but this is going to test Tucker Pruitt's mettle this year. trying to rally the troops there in purple hurricane country.
Tucker can do it. Mm-hmm. I have faith. Well, give us an underdog.
Oh, I do too.
My last question for us, give us an underdog. We're going to keep track of these this year and see what happens to these teams.
Oh, man. An underdog. I got one for you. I got a good one for you.
Uh-huh.
How about Richmond Hill?
Okay. I like it.
Matt Lazotte will be your best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Lazotte, a great guy. And I tell you, he's got some horses this year. They're a team to watch in that other tough region down here, 1-6A.
Well, as always, my friend, it's great to catch up with you as a part of the All-Stars as we get ready for the 2024 season. ITG Next, the Extra Point program, Phil Jones. Phil, great to hear your voice. Always following all the work that you guys do down there in Valdosta. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Thanks, John, Hannah. You guys have a great day. Have a great season.
Now we go to West Georgia at WRBL News 3 in Columbus. It's sports director Jack Patterson and sports anchor Tyler Redmond, a.k.a. T-Red. Hey, guys.
The top contenders for the tag team titles in the Western Frontier. I see how this works.
Hey, you know what they say about the Highlight Factory? We don't rebuild, we reload, Nelly. So
yes.
I got my boy T-Red, and we're about ready to change the game over here in West Georgia, all right?
Listen
Amen.
To that.
Amen. J-Pat and T-Red. Okay, so some of the crown jewels in your area, Sly, LaGrange, Troop, Manchester, others. What's going down? What's going to happen? Give us a preview.
You know, Hannah, as far as I'm concerned, you know, obviously we got the heavy hitters. You got Manchester, who went to a state championship game last year. You've got Sly County, who was in the Final Four. You've got Carver, who went to the semifinals last year. So obviously, you know, those are the ones that, you know, when you talk about West Georgia football, those are going to be the ones that come off the top of your head. But, you know, there's a lot of great storylines in our area. Reclassification changed this area. So, you know, for example, we got a region where Muskogee County is primarily in one region for the first time since I was in high school. So, you know, we're talking almost 15 years ago. And, you know, Troop and LaGrange, they're in their own region. Northside, Columbus, and Harris County, they're in their own region. The 1A schools are split up. Manchester's no longer in that same region with Sly County. They're in the region with the team that beat them for the state title last year, Bowden. So, like I said, a lot of change over the offseason.
So, Tyler, let me ask you this. Which region are you most looking forward to? Is it all Muskogee? Is it Manchester Bowden? Where are you going to be spending most of your time this season?
Well, like Jack said, you know, we have so many different storylines. I'm a little biased. I grew up in the Muskogee area. I went to Hardaway. So the reclassifications really interest me in that department. We get to see rivalries, you know, that were around when I was in high school, like Hardaway-Columbus High, which to someone on the outside may not look at that and go, well, that's exciting. But someone that lives in this community, we know that that is a long-time rivalry, and I'm happy to see that renewed. We get to see Hardaway go up against Carver and, you know, Spencer. All these teams are in the same region, you know, like Jack said, for the first time in 15 years. And that's going to be very exciting on Friday night.
T-Red, John has your bio pulled up. Anything interesting, John?
Well, I couldn't remember because it's Shaw and Hardaway. That's what we're dealing with here with Jack and Tyler. And so I was just trying to make sure that the rivalry was locked in place, that I knew that it was going to be Shaw and Hardaway that we were talking to here.
Just doing some research, doing some quick research.
We are going to get the third edition of the WRBL Sports Bowl coming up later this season.
Heck yes.
So we're looking forward to it.
Well, y'all are talking a lot about these storylines. Zero in on a few for me, maybe not just necessarily regions, right? We've talked about regions. Let's zero in on some teams and give me some good storylines to follow.
Well, I look at a team, you know, like Manchester, and we all know the story behind Manchester. They've gone through so much heartbreak. This is also a team that has a new coach. DeMonte Perez are taking over for Stephen Holmes, who's now at Pike County. You know, this is a team that's, you know, gone through a lot. They still have a great core, you know, led by Justice Terry, who made the AJC Super 11 today. You know, that team is going to be dangerous. I really do think so. You know, I think that's a team that, you know, especially going into the region with Bowden, man, I cannot wait for that game. But I'm really looking at a team like Manchester. I also look at a team like Troop and LaGrange going into that new region in Class 3A. That region is a murderer's row, but if anybody can compete in it, it's going to be a team like Troop and LaGrange. You know, Troop, obviously, no Teo Todd. The cheat code's going to be Georgia 7. But no Teo Todd, but, you know, talking with Tanner Glisson earlier this summer, you know, he's confident in the squad that he has. And same thing with Matt Napier. He's confident in the squad that he has. And one player that you need to watch out for the Grangers, Malachi Fannin-Render. I feel like because we've called his name since he was a freshman, you know, he's been there forever, but he's going to be a problem for defenses to tackle this year. So, you know, he's fully healthy. He was battling injury last year, but he's fully healthy. So really interested to see where those teams go this year.
Yeah, Tyler, 2-triple has Troop, Mary Persons, LaGrange, Spalding, who caused problems in their old region last year, in Sandy Creek. So you mentioned Murderer's Row, and you only have to worry about 2 non-region games, so you're going to be hip deep in region play right after Labor Day if you're in 2-triple-A.
Absolutely right. And, you know, that's the case for a lot of these schools. I actually previewed Columbus High. They have all region games beyond week 4. Right, so after week 4, it's all region play. And with Troop and LaGrange, with any of the LaGrange schools, really, it's really interesting to see how they stack up against what I would say competition from larger areas or bigger name schools. But they can beat anybody. And once you get into region play, things are going to get really interesting, and they're going to heat up later in the season for sure.
All right, my last question for you. Each of you guys give me an underdog in your area. Who is a team that we need to keep our eye on?
T-Red, I'll defer to you.
Ooh.
We have a lot of underdogs. You know, the thing about the reclassifications in Columbus is it's really a toss-up, right? Because outside of Carver, the Region 2A is interesting. Carver, of course, went to the Final Four last year. But everybody else kind of had a rough season for the most part, right? Hardaway, 0-10, Jordan, 0-10, Columbus, 1-9. All of those schools are going to be looking for a bounce-back year. I think Shaw is probably your best candidate. They went 4-6 last year, but they made the playoffs.
See, that's how you make waves with your boss.
I like it. Okay.
But I would say Shaw Raiders are probably your biggest case for underdog.
Write that down, John.
Yes. So Shaw from Tyler, banking nice with the boss. Okay, Jack. So give me a dog. Who are you looking at?
So Tyler's going to go with my alma mater. Okay.
And
so
are you going to say Hardaway and flip the script here? What are you doing?
I am not. I am going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go with Shaw's biggest rival, Northside. Jaden Clay at quarterback is going to be phenomenal for the Patriots. And Kingston Rivers, if you don't know his name, okay? Kingston Rivers is a problem at running back. He has been fantastic ever since he took over from Malachi Hosley, who's making waves in the Ivy League right now. Kingston Rivers is going to be the straw that stirs the Northside offense. Caden Clay was out throwing bombs against Spencer last week in the scrimmage game. I really think that Northside will be able to hold their own in Class 4A. And now that that team is healthy, I think they can do some damage.
Well, guys, it's great to catch up with both of you, the Intercontinental champs out on the Western Frontier. It is great to catch up with Jack and Tyler. Guys, great to do a tag team with you. Have a great season. We'll catch up with you soon, my friends.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nelly. You know where the workhorse is over here, so the IC title fits.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You were great as always.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Time to catch up with things in Middle Georgia. And to do that, we catch up with one of the legends in sports in Middle Georgia from 13 WMAZ. It's Big Marv, Marvin James, who's getting to add things to his business card. This time at the GHSA. So I have to do this. All right, hang on. Lego!
Lego! I like it. That's good.
That was a good one, John. Wow. You were on it today.
A little bass in the space.
That was great.
That actually got it to work. First question for Marv. Go for it, Hannah.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got Warner Robins. We've got Peach County. We've got lots of favorites in your area of Middle Georgia. Preview the season for us. Let us know some of the storylines you're following.
I like to say the usual suspects, as you just mentioned, Houston County, Warner Robins, Perry, and Peach County. I think the team to beat out of all of them, I got to give respect to P-E-R-R-Y.
Woohoo!
Panthers are the defending 4A state champs. So to be the man, you got to beat the man. I think a great wrestler once said that. Right, there we go. So following Ric Flair's shoes, I think that Perry has to be the team to beat. Even though they lost Colter Ginn, their star quarterback, who is now a preferred walk-on at Georgia, they are definitely, you know, next man up over there. Coach Kevin Smith in his eighth year has done everything the right way in Perry, and those guys are looking great. I went a chance to had a chance to see them practice a little bit this summer. Gordon is their star running back. He had, you know, close to about 1,600 yards rushing last year, over 25 touchdowns. So they're the team to beat, in my opinion, coming out of this area. Houston County, obviously, the four-star, borderline five-star quarterback with Antoine Hill Jr., mm-hmm. who is a Memphis commit. He's good as advertised, and I think he's going to get a chance to showcase that a lot later on this week at the Corky Kell playing against Alpharetta. The guy has a cannon. He is a true pro-style quarterback. He's not going to run. He doesn't get flustered much in the pocket, and he's going to showcase a lot of good things under head coach Jeremy Edwards' system, which continues to flourish and looks just awesome at the high school level. And they're going to do good things. I have no doubt about what Houston County can do. And Peach County, I guess, would be my, if I have the top three, Peach County would be one of the teams that are looking to emerge last year. Not so Peach County-esque under head coach Marquise Grissom. Marquise Grissom. Look at me talking.
Look at talking old brain.
Marquise Westbrook. You know, they're coming. I guess that's my, you know, my little plan right there to push the Braves into winning ways back in
there. You go, brother.
But Marquise Westbrook is definitely turning things around over there. They have some great, you know, players in play with the Don Hudson's boys. He's the defensive coordinator. His two sons, DJ, who is the quarterback, Zion, is a star receiver. So I think they're going to do some good things as well. They scrimmaged against Warner Robins a couple of weeks ago, and they took that game by two scores. So Warner Robins is right on the cusp. Warner Robins is right on the cusp of Shane Sams in his second season. I think they're planning to do some good things. They got a big man by Isaiah Gibson down there that's wrecking havoc and making noise. So they're also Rashawn Dinkins as well on the back end of the defense. He's a Georgia Tech commit. So I'm excited about football here in the Central Georgia area once again. But, you know, it's like usually the usual suspects are those teams in Houston County.
And at the same time, the way that the regions are now because of reclassification, you mentioned Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. Woo! And they're in a region in one quad. Benedictine, New Hampstead, Perry, Ware, Warner Robins, and Wayne. And Wayne has John Mooring now as the new head coach with Jabo Shaw heading to South Carolina for a new gig. Reclassification is now opening up windows and the private schools being slid in single A to triple A. That's opening up opportunities for Central Georgia teams like Bleckley County, et cetera. So reclassification, I think, has a chance to challenge some. It's going to force some folks to win a lot of games in the playoffs on the road because of how stacked regions are. And in lower classifications, it's opening up windows all over again.
Absolutely. And Bleckley County is one of those programs that continues to fight and play great ball with Von Lasseter over there being the head coach. He was once the head coach at Houston County, coached the great Jake Fromm when he was in high school. So he's continuing to have those Royals playing well. Dublin is another school that is going to be looking to play well on the Roger Holmes. And you know, the Irish are always in contention. So, yeah, I definitely believe that the smaller schools are going to benefit from that reclassification. And I know they're just excited to get started and stop hitting each other during these scrimmages going on so far.
Well, my last question for you, give me an underdog in your area. Who's somebody that could emerge onto the scenes besides Peach County?
Okay. Very interesting. I think I'll go with either Westside out of Macon.
Westside?
Coach Jedrick Risper continues to have those guys playing tough. They're always a tough out anytime they line up on the field. And even though Mary Persons has lost a lot, and Coach Brian Nelson or Nelly will probably get mad for me for saying this, but I'm going to put him as an underdog because they always find a way to compete and be there in the playoffs. Last year they lost to the eventual state champs in Cedar Grove. And, you know, like I said, they lost a bunch, but they definitely have that dog in them. So I expect to see them when it all all said and done come November in the playoffs.
They've got that XD. As always, Marvin, it's great to catch up with you, my friend, and find out what's going on in there in Middle Georgia. And we're also looking forward to working with you with your time with the GHSA now coming up in the future. So it's going to be a double dose of Marv.
Heck yeah.
That's what we're getting.
More Marv is what we need.
More Marv. That's what we're getting. Thanks for hanging out with us, my friend.
Absolutely, Hannah. You guys take care, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon. Y'all be blessed.
And last but not least, it's the voice of GBB Sports Football Fridays in Georgia, Matt Stewart. Hey, Matt, great to catch up with you.
Great to catch up with you guys, too.
So, games are starting this week. You're calling some, getting warmed up for ours on Friday. Tell me about some of the storylines that you're following this week.
Well, I'm calling five games, calling the two games on Thursday in the Corky Kell Classic. That's South Paulding and Dunwoody. Interesting matchup. I think two teams that are on the rise. And then we've got Prince Avenue. You know, they've won two straight state championships, three of the last 4 years, going up against West Forsyth. So
wow.
You got a 2A playing a 6A right there. But I think we would all agree that Prince Avenue might be 2A, but they don't have 2A talent.
Yeah.
They're more like 4 or 5A talent. So very interesting matchup. And then, of course, we've got Milton and Buford coming up on Friday night on GPB.
Woohoo!
Our season opener, Football Fridays in Georgia. I think it's the number one, at least as we sit here right now. It's the number one regular season game on the schedule in 2024. You got number one Buford in 6A, number one Milton in 5A. And even though they're 5A, I think, to me, they rate out as the best team in the state right now, with Buford right behind them as the number two team. That's, of course, great. And then Saturday morning, calling the first two games of the Corky Kell Classic at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You know, Walton called their last game, which happened to be the state championship game back in December. And in fact, Prince Avenue, I called their last game. So I'm getting them back-to-back, kind of just spread out over 8 months. But Walton versus Brookwood in the first game. Brookwood missed out on the playoffs for the first time in 7 years last year. I think they're going to have a turnaround season. They've really improved their offensive and defensive lines. And Walton, of course, rebuilding. They went from 13 players who either were offered or had scholarships in the state championship game down to 3 right now. So, but they got some interesting talent. Farrington came in from Woodward Academy, transferred in the running back, gives them a running back there. Caden Gilstrap has the task of stepping into the big shoes left behind by Jeremy Heklinski. And then the second game I'll be calling, Houston County versus Alpharetta. That game's chock full of big-time talent. You got A.J. Hill, the quarterback, four-star quarterback for Houston County, who when we called their game back in November in the playoffs, he was committed to Colorado. He's now committed to Memphis. And Alpharetta is a very interesting team in that they are loaded with talent. Julius Holly, big four-star edge, is committed to Michigan. So got five games this week, and I think they're all really good.
When you look at reclassification from 30,000 feet, just looking at it from a general overview, there are some regions that are absolutely ridiculous now that we have 6A as the highest classification, and then you slide the privates from single-A to triple-A over for their own championships, so the number of championship games stay the same. But there are some crazy competitive regions now that we no longer have 7A.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's the overlie, the 30,000-foot story, as you like to call it, is the fact that, you know, our region schedules here in the state of Georgia are going to be a lot better. You know, over the last few years, ever since they went to 7A, I think we would all agree that quite often the best games of the regular season came in the non-region schedule because regions were watered down, I thought. This is my opinion. They were watered down. In a lot of cases, they were just flat-out weak where, you know, one or two teams, I mean, they knew before the season started, you know, they're going to be the one seed coming out of that region. But, yeah, the contraction of the classifications I think is going to make for much more competitive regular seasons and regular season region schedules. I agree with what Todd Holcomb wrote in Georgia High School Football Daily in that the biggest impacts are coming in 6A, 5A, which is a monster. You know, I had in the three teams that I had in my preseason top 10 in three of the 10 teams in my preseason top 10 in 5A are reigning state champions. So, I mean, and now they're all in one classification, you know, and then 4A is going to be super competitive and 1A Division II, super competitive. I think you'll see the impact of the separate private classification, which I think is going to be a huge, very competitive playoff. That's going to be a fun playoff between those teams. I think you're going to see the real effect of the split of the private classifications into a separate playoff. You're going to see that in 3A, 2A, and 1A, D1. I think 1A, D1, I mean, there's no state champions in recent memory in 1A, D1. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Phil said that too. So that's definitely one I have circled. Well, you're also one of our recruiting experts. Give me a quick top five players to watch for those listening who aren't as familiar with high school football or just with the season coming up. Give us a quick rundown of who are the top players to watch.
Well, Elijah Griffin is the number one player. Well, I guess the caveat is what recruiting rankings are you looking
the
at?
The Matt Stewart rankings.
Yours, Matt.
Mine, yeah. Elijah Griffin is out of Savannah Christian, is arguably the top player in the state, defensive lineman. He's arguably the top player in the state. Of course, the quarterback is going to get a lot of attention. You know, where Juju Lewis has reclassified, instead of this being his junior year, it's going to be a senior year. He's five-star, committed to Southern Cal. He has unreal NIL. I mean, he's six figures. He's a high school player. He's got six figures NIL money coming in. Just really unbelievable. I mean, I was getting six figures when I was in high school, $3.15 an hour minimum wage. Those were my three figures.
It's really unprecedented, honestly.
He's getting six figures. He's getting six figures. It's crazy. There'll be a lot of pressure on him since he's reclassified, you know, because this has got to be Carrollton's year if he's going to – I mean – from his standpoint, they're going to do it with Juju. It's got to be this year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Luke Nickel, who, you know, may be blasphemy to some people. I thought he was the best quarterback in the state last year, including Juju. Luke just took that Milton team on his shoulders. He's got a running ability that either Juju doesn't have or he hasn't shown us. I think he's a tough quarterback. His rating isn't nearly as high as Juju, as Luke is a four-star committed to Miami. I mean, I'd take Luke any day of the week. I'd take Juju any day of the week, too. But I think it's very interesting the way those two seasons are going to play out with those guys. And then, you know, the other stories are the transfers. I mean, it's just Milton has loaded up with, you know, a number of transfers. Buford, Douglas County has loaded up. Alpharetta lost some great players. The transfers, nobody lost transfers like Cedar Grove. And Cedar Grove has been, you know, pound for pound, the best team in the state, best program in the state for the last decade. You know, can they survive? They got a new coach. They promoted. They did not promote from within, which has kind of been their MO. And apparently that caused some strife in the program. And a lot of players transferred out to Langston Hughes. Bo Walker, the running back, went to Stockbridge. Devin Carter, the wide receiver, went to Douglas County. And their top lineman, Javon Beckman, is now at Langston Hughes. The transfers is going to be a huge part of the recruiting story, too, because a lot of them are in different places than they were when the season ended last year.
So then the last question that we have for you, we've talked about all of the greatest hits. Who's an underdog for you this year? Who's a team that can fly below the radar and make some noise that we're not talking about? Who do you think can be a school that can do that kind of damage?
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at my rankings, I think Cass is in line for a historically great season. I mean, they are loaded up. This is a program that has historically not had much success at all. They ended up reaching the quarterfinals last year, going 7-6, but they've got super talent. And I think Cass has a chance to be historically great. And I think their game at Cartersville – is going to be super lit. I mean, you got they got their best chance ever to knock off Cartersville. And, you know, traditionally we know Cartersville has just stepped over the top of them on the way to championship seasons. So I think that's going to be a great game, there in Bartow County. Cass, I think, has a chance to be really, really good. Douglas County has a chance to be really, really good, not just this year, but the next. Amazing as it seems, I mean, their best year is still next year. The strength is in their junior class. And with that team, that the strength being sophomores last year, you know, they went 13-1 and had a lead on Woodward Academy in the state semifinals and let it get away from them, or else they would have been playing Thomas County Central for the 6A state championship. And now they're playing in 6A, the highest classification. So they moved up, or everybody else moved down to meet them, however you want to look at it. But they're in the highest classification now. I think Douglas County has a chance to be really, really good this year.
You know what else is going to be super lit? The Eagles Nest on Friday. We can't wait, Matt. Yep. Thank
super
you.
Lit.
Thank you so much for all of your insight. And we can't wait to get the season started. All we're missing is Wayne. Us four, we got this, guys.
Yeah, Wayne will show up. Wayne will show up soon. It'll be really cool.
Well, that's it. Yep. That's it, guys. Where the season has officially started.
Yeah, well, it has. And so we're going to we thank Matt. We thank Big Marv from WMAZ in Macon, Jack and Tyler from WRBL in Columbus, Phil Jones from ITG Next in Valdosta, and Todd Holcomb from GHSF Daily. So that's a show, isn't it?
That's a show.
All right. So for all of them, from all of us here at GPB, can't wait for Football Fridays to kick off. On Friday, the sprint begins to the championships in 2024. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your game.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.